Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It's always a good thing to be in God's house. This is my favorite time of the week. It's the time where I know for sure I'm coming to be amongst people who have a like mind. That's awesome to be in the house of God. I thank all the brothers who led our worship today, Brother Jones for the prayer, Brother Thompson for our scripture reading, Brother Prowl for our song service. How y'all doing all right today? All right, because it's Sunday morning. I know it's cold outside, but it should be full and warm of God's Spirit inside. As a matter of fact, I told my wife I was going to title my sermon, Cold Day, Hot Sermon. But I just couldn't find a text to go with that, so I left it alone. But I'm happy to be here today, and I'm happy to see all of you all. It's always good to see you all. I see my mother is in the audience today. And she said, she just did like this, your daddy. So my daddy's somewhere here too. I know he's here because he left a handkerchief in my office because I left mine. So I'm glad to see those of you who have come to visit with us today. It's always a great opportunity to be amongst visitors as well. If you would, turn your books to page 52. Is that all right? This is the song that was on my heart this morning. Eric asked me to sing this song. It was already on my heart. I'm glad it was. He didn't ask me to sing something other than what I planned on singing, because his feelings would have got hurt.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. Is this thing gone? All right, page 52. Let's sing that.
Though a pilgrim, a stranger, a beggar, I be, as here I go traveling on. Oh, and though the dearest of friends will not listen to me and chide me for trusting God's Son.
Yes, I know somebody loves me. Yes, and never will turn me. I know that it's Jesus, the Savior, Calvary, and He hears everything I say. Oh, let the world amble on like the oh, with the beauty and charms to our Lord. Yes, my hope in the heavenly Lord is far more exceeding and sure. Yes, and my Redeemer will answer my and He will guide me each hour. Oh, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior is He, who hears everything. Oh, and Lord, yes, I know somebody's listening, Yes, and he hears everything. Oh, Lord, yes, I know. Somebody answers every prayer that I. Oh, Lord, yes, I know. Somebody loves me and never will. I know that it's Jesus, the Savior on Calvary, and he hears everything that I say. Oh, Lord, yes, I know. Know somebody's listening. Yes, and he hears everything. Oh, Lord, yes, I know. Somebody answers every prayer that I pray. And Lord, yes, I know. Somebody loves me, yes, and never will. I believe that it's Jesus, the Savior, Calvary, and he is. Oh, Lord, yes, I know. Know somebody's listening, and he's everything. Yes, Lord, yes, I know. Somebody answers every prayer I pray. Lord, yes, I know. Somebody has to love me and never. I'm sure that it's Jesus. Amen. Yes, and he is. That I say. Church, say amen. Isn't it good to know somebody's listening? I mean, you know, you go through things in life and you know, sometimes you just wonder, does anybody hear me? But it's good to know that somebody is listening. And not just anybody, but the person who was able to fix it all. I'm good to know. I'm glad that y'all listening. And I'm okay that you hear my prayer. But who I really want to be listening is God my Father. Because you can pray for me, but he can fix it. You can cry with me, but he can fix it. You can even mourn with me. You can shout with me. But whatever it is that I'm going through, whatever it is I'm celebrating, I want God to hear me. I'm glad somebody's listening. Yeah, I know sometimes something went on this week. And you needed God to be hearing you. And I'm here to tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, he heard you. And he's working on it. And the good thing about it is, he's working on it so tough, he's going to, when he works on it and when he fixes it, when it's all over, it's going to be better than it was before. I know that's right. I'm almost preaching my lesson because that's where I'm going. Turn your Bibles to the first chapter of Ruth. First chapter of Ruth. And this is a powerful story, a very, very powerful story. It's a love story. And not only is it a love story, it foreshadows, it prophesies what God does for us as our Redeemer. But if you look at Ruth, the first chapter, and we're going to go through, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot in this lesson. So I'm going to have to move quickly. So I need you to have your thinking caps on so we can get through the first chapter and then we can really get into our practical applications before the end of the book. Now, I usually don't try to cover a whole book in the Bible in one sermon, but I'm going to try it today. So I need y'all to be really with me. If you would turn to Ruth, the first chapter, and around the 19th verse, it says, "Now the two of them went until they came into Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem." Am I on the right chapter? Yeah, I'm there. It happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me?"
and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Is that in your Bible? From this passage of scripture and from this book of Ruth, I want to offer you up the title, God Can Put the Pieces of Your Broken Heart Back Together. God can put the pieces of your broken heart back together. Now you know that we are reviving ourselves. We ended the year talking about revival. And as we get into the beginning of this year, we are really, at this point of the year, working on us. And in order for us, we really need to work on us, because our job is to save the world. But it's going to be really difficult for us to save the world if we are not okay ourselves. See, so what we need is this message. God can put the pieces of your broken heart back together. Now, this lesson serves two purposes. The first purpose is for you to have a clear understanding of what God can do for you. Listen to me now. We as Christians need to have a clear understanding of what God can do for us. Even in time of difficulties, we need to know what God can do for us. Now, we need to know that, because once we know it, we're able to operate at our maximum capacity, because we understand what God can do for us even in difficult situations. So that's the first reason for the lesson. The second reason is that as we begin to go into the neighborhood and as we begin to bring people to God, we have to be able to share with them what God can do for them also. But in order for us to share with the world what God can do for them, we have to have a clear understanding of what he does for us. Does that make sense? God can put the pieces of your broken heart back together. If you would turn to the very first verse in Ruth, and we're going to move through this quickly. It says, in the very first verse of Ruth, it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab. Now, it's important for us to understand the context in which this is going down. Okay? This thing says, now it came to pass in the time when the judges ruled. All right? Now, that does two things for us. One, it gives us a specific time period in which this took place. But it also gives us a specific attitude or a specific state of the people of God during this time. So the time period is probably around 11 BC. But what I want you to understand, the time period is important. But what's even more important is for you to understand what the mindset of the people of God was during this time. So you see in Ruth 1, it says this is during the time of the judges' rule. Now, flip back one verse to Judges, the 21st chapter and the 25th verse. And it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So what the Bible is telling us is when this story unravels, this was during a time when people was doing what they wanted to do. Y'all following me? Okay, people were doing what they thought was right. Now you know, like I know, that some people have a distorted look or distorted vision on what's right. So what we can surmise from this scripture is that it was chaotic during this period of time. Y'all follow me? Y'all must be too cold, because y'all quiet out there. It was chaotic at this point in time. Kind of like today in our lives. You know, when people in the world right now are doing what they think is right. and not what God has said is right. So I'm trying to set this context for you, because if we set the context, you'll understand how this is going to apply to you, because there are so many parallels doing what's going on in the time in which this book is written and what's happening in 2018. Y'all following? So now, the Bible says this is during the time and the judges rule. And it says their name was Judea and went, let me start back over. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went and dwelled in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrodites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there for about 10 years. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Okay? And then it said, and she was left with her two sons. Now, her two sons took two wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, okay? Then it says, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. She is in a foreign land. She left Bethlehem to come to Moab. Everything seems to be going right. How do you know that everything is going right? Well, because later on in the chapter, Naomi says, I left here full, but I come back empty. So what I know is that when she left, things were going okay in her life. Even though there was a famine in the land, she left with a husband, she left with her two sons, and it had to be at the very least emotionally she was doing okay. But then God, she's fine in her plane, and she's feeling really good. And then what happens is she runs into some unexpected turbulence. Now, every last one of us will or have run into some unexpected turbulence. See, Naomi was living life just good. Her husband was taking care of her. And even when her husband died, you know, that was a sad occasion in her life. But she still had her two sons. And because of what the Jewish tradition was, she didn't have any worries because her two sons were responsible for taking care of her. But now, her husband and her two sons are dead. She's broken. Her heart is broken. But I'm telling you, if we go along the story, if you stay with me, God will put it back together. But a heart is broken. And sometimes, let's just stop there for a minute, because sometimes our heart gets broken. Sometimes we run into some unexpected turbulence. Sometimes we receive a curveball in life. See, we wake up in the morning feeling really good, go to the doctor for a regular checkup, and then the blood work come back wrong. Unexpected turbulence. We living our lives, thinking our marriage is working pretty well, and then your wife or your husband comes in and says, I'm through. I want to go someplace else. I don't want to be married anymore. Unexpected turbulence. Sometimes our kids are healthy and we're doing all right, and then we might lose a child. Unexpected turbulence. Sometimes you are with child and you are expecting a baby, and you go into the doctor to hear for an ultrasound, and you listen to that ultrasound and there is no heartbeat. You have lost a child. Unexpected turbulence. What I'm trying to tell you is that every last one of us runs in to unexpected turbulence. And what happens when we run into this unexpected turbulence is that sometimes our misery can change the way we see God. But let's keep on going through the story, because I'm going to get to that. So what happens is that Naomi lost both of her husband and both of her sons. And as she begins to go, she tells her daughter-in-law, both Oprah and Ruth, go back to your land. And she says, I need you to go back to the land in which you came. I'm going home, but you can't go with me. Go back to your native land. And when she says that, they said, no, Naomi, we're going to stay with you. And she says, why would you stay with me? I don't have anything to give you. I'm too old to marry. And even if I were old enough to marry, I'm too old to have children. But even if I were able to have children, would you wait and be single long enough for my children to get grown, to marry them? I have nothing for you. Naomi is miserable, and she is becoming bitter. And Oprah tearfully says, all right, I'm gone. She kisses her mother, and she says, I'm going back home. But then Ruth says, I'm not going anywhere. And she says, entreat me. I'm at verse 16. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. Listen to what Ruth says, because this is a love story. Ruth loves her mother-in-law. She says, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. And that's the most important thing she said. She said, your God, my God. And she said, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you from me. Ain't that awesome? Ruth loves Naomi so much, I believe that Ruth understood that Naomi was miserable. And I believe that Ruth understood that even though Naomi was pushing her and Oprah away, that if Naomi was by herself, she would sure enough struggle. So Ruth said, I'm going to stay with you. I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens, it's going to happen to both of us. So Naomi is miserable. And the Bible says, when she saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking. Now I'm just going to show you how bitter Naomi is. Ruth just told her, I'm with you. I ain't going nowhere. I got your back. No matter what you do, I'm going to do. And when she heard Ruth's message, she didn't say, thank you, Ruth. She just stopped talking. He said, I ain't worried about it. I just okay. And then they turned it back. And then it says, now when they went, in verse 19, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was excited to see them. Well, but was excited because of them. And the women said, can this be Naomi? Now watch this now. Naomi don't look like she looked when she left. See, so there's probably some, oh my God, can this be Naomi? And there's also probably some, can this be Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt with me bitterly. Well, that don't sound like a lot of sense. Well, the reason why that makes sense is that the word Naomi means pleasant. See, so Naomi's saying, don't you call me pleasant. I'm not pleasant. I'm bitter. And I'm bitter because God has dealt bitterly with me. We got to park our car here. Sometimes we go through stuff. And God, and because of our misery, we begin to see God wrong. Naomi had not lost her faith in God.
she still believed that God was. Why do you say that? Because if we go up in the chapter, I think in verse 7, or maybe 17, I think verse 7, it says that she went back to Bethlehem because she heard God had provided there. So, obviously, she still believes in God. How do I also know that she believes that God is? It's because she's blaming God for what she's going through. So if she didn't believe that God had all power, then she would not have blamed him for her struggles. So it's not that she's lost faith in who God is. It's that her misery is causing her to see God from a distorted view. This happens to all of us. We go through some stuff. And we struggle with some things. And when we struggle with those things, we start to wonder why. Because we believe in God, we say he did it. And we start to ask questions. We start to blame God. Our mouth starts to get a little rough. We start to have an attitude. And we start to treat those around us. And we even will treat God like the enemy. Now, y'all getting quiet, but I know that's true. But I'm so glad that God gives me grace. I'm so glad that God gives me mercy. And that God gives me an opportunity to lose my mind and to find it again. Because we get to a point where we will blame God for the things that are going on in our life. You see, Naomi never took credit or any responsibility for what had happened to her. But if we look at this, the Bible says that there was a famine throughout the land. That's why her husband, and her two sons left. Well, we wonder, well, why was there a famine? Well, if we look at Leviticus, the 26th chapter, and we go through verses 3 and verse 13, through verse 13, we find out that the famine happened because the children of Israel were being disobedient. God had already warned them. He said, I'll bless you, but if you act a fool, there's going to come a time when you're going to try to put seed in the ground and it ain't going to come up. God, it's going to come a time when you're going to need some help and I ain't going to give it to you. So Naomi left Bethlehem because there was a famine. There was a famine because the children of Israel were being disobedient. You follow me? Naomi never says that, does she? She just said, God dealt with me bitterly. Now, keep this in mind. All the people that she left in Bethlehem are still okay. Y'all see that? Why you say that? Because when she came back, she said, hey, is that Naomi? Naomi chose to leave Bethlehem and go to Moab. Naomi and her husband chose to let after the disobedience of the people to go to a foreign land. But Naomi's not taking credit for that. That's kind of like us. We act the fool every day. Mess up every day. Just downright simple. Every day. Y'all always get quiet when we start talking about sin like I'm not talking about y'all. Okay, all right, let me do this. I act a fool every day. I act up every day. Downright simple. Every day. And what will happen is that even though I have done enough for God to do me in, whenever God starts doing something to me, I lose my distorted view. I forget that he gave me grace. I forget that he gave me mercy. I forget that he didn't kill me when he should have. And all of a sudden, as soon as I go through something, I start talking about God wrong. That's tough, ain't it? I'm not telling you what I think, I'm telling you what I know. Let me get real personal. I got two beautiful kids. After I had my first child, we tried for a second. When we went to the hospital, everything was going just fine. When we went to the doctor, we went happy. Got to the doctor, had an ultrasound. Everything was supposed to be right. Got there, started to listen to the heartbeat. It wasn't one. I struggled. We talked to the doctors. Doctor said, we don't know what happened. Ran all the tests. Spent all our insurance money. Tried again. 2, 4, 5 months into it. Went to the doctor. Went for the ultrasound. Listened again. Wasn't no heartbeat. I struggled. I started to ask God some questions. I started to say, wait a minute, Lord. I work in school buildings. Well, these parents ain't worth a nickel. Come on, I'm just being honest with you. I work in school buildings with kids I neglected every day. I'm trying to love my child. Why won't you give me another one? I'm telling you, I started to look at God a little differently. I still had faith in it. But the way I started to talk to him was a little wrong. And I started to talk to my daddy, and I talked to a brother at church, and he asked me, he said, who you mad at? Are you mad at your wife? I said, no. He said, are you mad at yourself? I said, no. He said, who you mad at? I'm mad at God. I'm mad at him. Because I wanted him to do something for me that he didn't do. Now, I'm still worth a nickel. I ain't worth 2 plugged nickels rubbed together. But when this went down in my life, I struggled. But then God, soon as we stopped saying we was trying, God let us get pregnant again. We went to the hospital at the 5-month appointment. There was a heartbeat. We went at the 6th. There was a heartbeat. The 7th. The 8th. The 9th. September 25th, 2015. God pulled out a little bitty boy. We called him Darwin Levi Mason III. Yeah, God knew exactly what I needed. He was able to put the pieces back together even though my heart was broken. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes our misery puts us in a place where we don't know how to deal with God, but God is so good that he'll work it out anyway. Now watch how he worked it out in the chapter of Ruth. Let me get to this text, and I got to go. Wait a minute. Let me get there. It says, now verse 22, now Naomi returned. And Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, now they came to Bethlehem. This is key. At the beginning of the barley harvest. Look at this as a play. Naomi went through a ton. And she was struggling a bunch. But God brought her to Bethlehem. And he didn't just bring her to Bethlehem at any given time. He brought her at harvest time, at the beginning of the barley season. Now the Bible opens up in chapter 2, verse 1. Somebody read to what it says in chapter 2, verse 1. It says what?
And they
always
had a kinsman.
Yeah.
A mighty man of wealth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
His name was Boaz.
So the Bible closes chapter 1 that it was a harvest season. It was about to be. It opens up in chapter 2. It says, now Naomi had a kinsman. And it was her family. He was from Amalek. And his name was Boaz. And he was a wealthy man. I got to rush through this piece because our time is well spent. But this is how the story goes. Ruth went to Naomi. And they told you who Boaz was. It's Naomi's family. And Ruth went to Naomi. She said, Naomi, I'm going to go out to the fields. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to glean the fields. And I'm going to try to find something for us. Now, if you don't know what glean means to get the leftover grains from those people who are reaping or the harvester. So what happens is they spread the grains and some drops out their bag. And what the children of Israel, they had their way. It was their own welfare system. See, what they would do is that they would spread the grains. The poor would come behind, and they would pick up the grains. And Ruth went to go pick up the grains. And the Bible says that Boaz came home, and he said, "Who is that woman that's been picking up them grains?" And they said, "That is Naomi's daughter-in-law." So he went to Ruth. He went to Ruth and he said, "You don't pick up grains from no other fields. You stay on my side of the land. Come on. You stay on my side of the land." And she said, "Why do you find favor with me?" She said, "Because what you did for your mother-in-law, I was told about." And then he went to his people. And he said, "Look here, what I want y'all to do is when you start dropping your grains, I want you to drop a little extra for Ruth." Now, what am I trying to tell you? Sometimes when your heart is broken, God starts to piece it back together. He don't always give you the whole harvest at once, but he'll tell his folks, "Drop a little extra." And all you got to do is stay on the field. And the Bible says that Ruth gathered so much. She went back to Naomi. Naomi, she took it to the harvest. Naomi said, "Girl, where'd you get this much stuff from?" And she said, Boaz helped me. He found favor with me. And Naomi said, "That's my people. That's Elimelech's people. Watch it now, watch it now." And then he said, once they got there, she said, "Girl, go put on a good dress." Yeah, that's what she said. She said, "Girl, go put on a good dress. Go put on, take a good bath. Put on some perfumes and oil. And I want you to wait for Boaz to get finished eating. And once he gets finished eating, when he lays down, I want you to lay at his feet." Now, what you need to understand is that Boaz is what they call the Redeemer. Oh, he's the Redeemer. So she goes and she lays at Boaz's feet. Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night. When Boaz gets up in the middle of the night, he said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm Ruth." And he said, what are you doing here, right? And then he took his cloak and he covered her. The Bible says that the cloak is similar to what you call wings. So he put her under his wing. Then he told her, he said, "Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to redeem this land. But I can't redeem it because there's somebody who is closer to Elimelech than I am. So I got to give him an opportunity to redeem the land." Long story short, the man met with Boaz. He said, "I don't want to redeem the land. I can't." Boaz said, "Well, you know what? I'll redeem it." He redeemed the land, married Ruth. The Bible says in the fourth chapter, I think it's towards the end, maybe fourth or 15th verse, it says when he married Ruth began, they had a child, and the Bible says that child became Naomi's child, and it even says that Ruth was worth more to Naomi than seven sons. Naomi started off rough, but God left her with Ruth. Ruth was Naomi's blessing. God started by blessing Ruth. And by blessing Ruth, he blessed Naomi. And the Bible says that Ruth was better than both of them sons for Naomi. And not only was he that good, Obed ended up being the grandfather of David, meaning that he's in the bloodline of Jesus. What am I trying to tell you? Sometimes things go wrong, and we have a heart broken. But what happens is God picks up all the pieces, and he starts to work it out. He, if you just stay in the field, he works it out, and he puts it back together. And by the time it's all over, Naomi looked a whole lot better than she looked in chapter 1. God can put back the pieces of your broken heart. That's just the truth. Here's the parallel. Ruth got up, was obedient to Naomi, started to work the field. Boaz ended up being Ruth's redeemer, meaning that he put her in the right state. He allowed her to be in the right state. Just like Boaz is the redeemer for Ruth, Jesus is our redeemer. Yeah, it's the same thing. Draw the parallels. You struggle sometimes. It's going to be all right. But what you got to do is you got to get on the field. And you got to start harvesting. Don't look for nothing real big at first. Just grab what God has left. And I guarantee you what he's left is enough. And eventually you will start to look. You'll say, that brother over there or that person over there got a better job, got more stuff. Got more this, but why is it that I always the one that look like I'm more blessed? Because while you were picking up the scraps, God told his people to leave a little extra. And then he'll buy you. He'll purchase you. He'll redeem you, just like Boaz redeemed Ruth. And as a result, you will be in the lineage of Jesus. And it makes sense. That's the lesson. What has broken your heart? I don't know what it is. You do. And I guarantee you, every one of us at some point in time has had a broken heart. And if you haven't, just wait. But the good thing about it is, God's still God. See, we're preparing our mind to go and save the community. But in order for us to save the community, we got to know what God is doing for us.
Yes.
And then when it's time to talk to the people in the world, we can tell them what God would do for them. Why? Because he already did it for us. Hey, Chief, I'm trying to tell you that God is. My niece trying to run to me. I was going to let her come, too. I wasn't going to fight. But God is. God can. How did he do it for us? He sent his son to die on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he laid in a tomb for 3 days, but he got up. And when he got up with all power in his hands. And he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. And where he sits, that means when he's on the right hand, that means that's the hand that's working. What do you mean? That right hand means that's God's ambassador. He's our ambassador. When you go through some stuff, you pray to Jesus, and Jesus on the right hand, he whispers in God's ear. He says, hey, Darwin didn't mean to say that. He fixed it for us. And then he rose up with all power, and he gave us an opportunity to see him in glory. Isn't that a good thing? You looking for somebody to break, to fix your broken heart? God is it. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. I know you struggle with some stuff. I know the devil be whooping you sometimes. He whoops every last one of us. But God is still good. And that's what we got to tell the people out there. We don't have to argue about what we do what versus what somebody else do. All we got to do is tell them is God is good. God did this for me. That's the best story you'll ever tell. Don't you think if Ruth or Naomi went and told her story to somebody else, don't you think she might not have knew what it said in Leviticus or in Exodus or in Genesis. All she had to do was tell what God had done for her. And I guarantee you there'll be followers. Just tell the world what God's done for you. If you struggle with your sin, if you struggle with life, and you just need us to pray for you. You can do that right now. If you have not a member of the body of Christ, you've heard the word of God. You got to believe it. And then you got to repent of your sins. And when I say repent, we don't care much about reporting. We're talking about a change of heart. Amen. And then you confess the sweetest name on earth. You will never in your life have a sweetest name to confess. I tell the world I love my wife, but her name ain't as sweet as Jesus. Amen. You confess the sweetest name on earth. And then through obedience, you go through baptism. And when you get down in that water and you come back up, God has already cleaned up all of your sins. Amen. And then we're here waiting to help you walk that life that is pleasing and acceptable for him. If you are subject to God's invitation, I know I kept you too long today. If you are subject to God's invitation, please come right now as we sing the song.
Come from the Lord.